Praise the Lord. Amen. Paul writing to the church at Corinth, a very interesting church, Corinth. Very interesting place, Corinth. But he said to the church, what? Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Now, are you ready for this? Buckle your seatbelt. He said, and such were some of you. Anybody see your picture up there? Don't raise your hand. Don't even smile. Amen. But some of our pictures are up there in that verse. He said, such were. Everybody say were. Thank God it's were. Amen. But such were some of you. But you're washed. You're sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Hallelujah. Amen. I would like to use this simple title tonight, but now. But now. The Lord bless you, and you may be seated. When I was a boy, when you would buy a comic book for 5 or 10 cents, on the back of almost every one of them, or in one of the inside pages, there would be an advertisement from a man by the name of Charles Atlas. Anybody here ever heard of Charles Atlas? You can tell all us muscular guys did. And Charles Atlas, he would have and it was in comic form, there would be a picture of this guy down at the beach with his girlfriend, and he's a skinny little guy, and the big bully had come by and kicked sand in his face and embarrassed him in front of his girlfriend. Of course, he was so angry, and his girlfriend trying to defend him, you know. And then he'd go home, and he ordered Charles Atlas from in the mail, and he sent him his muscle building formula, and the young man began to work out with all the Charles Atlas equipment, and then a little while later, of course, he's all, what's the word they use now, buff. Amen. And so he goes down, you know, he's no longer a 92-pound weakling. Now he's Mr. Atlas number 2, and he goes down and he finds the big bully, and in front of his girlfriend, he runs him off, and all's well. And so we have the picture before and after. You've seen those, haven't you? Before and after pictures. Before and after. Amen. And so this is kind of what this is here today. It's talking about what some of us used to be, but we are not that anymore. And so, hence the title I want to preach about tonight, But Now, something happened that changed the entire circumstance and situation. Excuse me. Psalm 119 and 67. The psalmist said, before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now have I kept thy word. There's something to be said for brokenness. When we walk in our own confidence and conceit, we set ourselves up for a fall. When we think we can do it all by ourselves and we don't need anybody else, we are setting ourselves up for a fall. Amen. And that's what the scripture's talking about here tonight. But when we fall, we don't have to stay down. When we face defeat, we don't have to give in to defeat and to despair. We can do as the prophet Micah said. He said, "Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall rise again." And we can get up and understand in a spirit of brokenness that I am not standing in my strength, and I'm not standing in my wisdom, and I'm not standing in my might, but God is my strength, and He is my refuge. He is my shield and my buckler. Amen. He is my mighty weapon. He is my victory. Hallelujah. And I understand tonight it's not in myself that I can do anything good. Even Jesus said, He said that I can do nothing. He understood that even the flesh that God dwelled in the very flesh itself, it was no different than yours and mine. It hungered and it grew thirsty and it hurt when it was wounded and it ached when it was lonely. And it was able to be tempted just like your flesh and my flesh. He said, "This flesh, I can't do anything." He said, "But there's a Father, there's a Spirit, there's a power in me, and He can work." Hallelujah. Amen. Paul said it also when he said, "In my flesh dwells no good thing." The flesh is created and was affected so severely by the fall of Adam and Eve. I think it was that Jeremiah, was it not? It said the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You and I have probably been shocked at some of the thoughts that have come into our mind. And we think, why would I even think something like that? Where could a thought like that even come into my head? It's because of this flesh. All of us deal with this stuff. Amen. But our strength is in the Lord. Hallelujah. The Lord told Paul, He said, when you're weak, He said, that's when you're strong. He said, because my strength is made perfect in your weakness. When you understand tonight that you are weak and you learn to lean on Him, then you become strong. Amen. So brokenness is a good thing. Haughtiness and pride is a deceitful thing. Amen. I don't know about you, but what is it the Scripture said? He said, "Take heed when you think you stand, lest you fall." The Scripture said pride and a haughty spirit go before a fall. Just when you think you're better than somebody else. Amen. Watch out. When you get to thinking you're doing better than everybody else. Amen. Faults in others I can see, but praise the Lord, there's none in me. You're setting yourself up for a fall. You're headed down the wrong road. Amen. But when we have brokenness and we understand, God, I can't even walk without You holding my hand. Amen. And we understand there's a brokenness about us. God can use broken things. The Bible said a broken and contrite heart, God will in no wise refuse. Amen. Whenever we allow ourselves to understand that in our strength we cannot make it. That's what the psalmist is saying when he said, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray." He said, "But now, amen, after I've been afflicted and after I've been broken, So now I understand the importance of the Word of God. And I draw strength, and I keep your Word because that's my safety, and that's my strength, and that's my righteousness when I keep the Word of the Lord. Amen. It's a good thing to keep God's Word in our hearts. Amen. Romans chapter 6, verse 19. The Apostle Paul wrote, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. What fruit had you then in those things whereof you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. He's talking about when flesh ruled and we yielded ourselves to flesh and to fleshy appetites. Amen. Given yourself to flesh, you will always make the wrong decision. And you will always do the wrong thing. Because your flesh of itself and its depravity desires forbidden things. And when we yield to the flesh, we do forbidden things. The Bible says unrighteousness. We yielded our members to unrighteousness. Paul wrote in another place, he said, the things I want to do, he said, that's not what I do. It's the things that I don't want to do. That's what I do. Anybody understand that tonight? Amen. Thank you, all three of you. Amen. Maybe that'll soak into the rest of us in a minute. Amen. Have you ever wanted to do right, but found yourself doing wrong? You knew what was right. You wanted to do what was right, but you didn't do it. Anyway, even knowing that's what was right, you still did what was wrong because it was in your flesh to do that and you couldn't control yourself. That was the condition that Paul found himself in. He said, understanding tonight, he said, the fruit of all of that is death. People that give themselves unreservedly to seeking pleasure, you know what? They die. You can please yourself to death. You can drink yourself to death. Amen. You can smoke yourself to death. You can drug yourself to death. All the pleasures of the flesh, you can go in such excess, but the end of it is always death. And I've heard people say, what a way to go. Well, I don't want to go like that. I don't want to go like that. Oh, no. Amen. I want to go in righteousness, folks. Praise the Lord. I want to go in righteousness because I know where righteousness is going. Hallelujah. It's not stopping here. Hallelujah. That's why the apostle, he didn't stop there. Verse 22, he said, but now, everybody say, but now. But now being made free from sin. Everybody say free from sin. Hey, you're no longer bound to sin. Now you have the ability to stand up and say no. Hallelujah. Praise God. The Holy Ghost gives you a backbone. The Holy Ghost gives you power. The Holy Ghost gives you a spirit of righteousness. It takes the chicken out of you, and it helps you to be able to stand up to sin and say no. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. It gives us the power to resist sin. Amen. It gives us the power to walk in righteousness. The Bible said we're free from sin. Isn't that what the Scripture said Jesus came to do? Call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. Hallelujah. He came to deliver us, to get us out of our sins. Amen. And so he says, but now, in Christ Jesus, being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness, and in the end, everlasting life. Hallelujah. My, what a change. Hallelujah. You know how I know this is real, Brother Neil? Because my appetite changed. Amen. You see, before Jesus Christ, you enjoy sin. You like it. Now, after Jesus Christ, you can still sin, but you don't like it like you did before. Because there's something in you that keeps saying, there's something better than this. I know better than this. I don't have to live like this. And I shouldn't be here. I shouldn't be talking like this. I shouldn't be acting like this. Because there's a spirit of righteousness that's in you. I was talking to a man recently that he had gone away from the Lord and was away for a long time. And he came back and God redeemed him and he's doing so well now. But he said, when I was away from the Lord, he said, I never got away from this. I never got away from this. He said, I would be in a place and people would start talking about God. And he said, I'd set them straight. Because he knew that there was something new in God. Clear, bro. I think we got a, here we go. Hold it just perfect and we'll work. Amen. He said we would be in doing things we weren't supposed to be, that shouldn't even be involved in. He said, and there I'd be defending God. Hallelujah. Amen. You see, there's something about this Holy Ghost. Once it gets on the inside, it's real, folks. It's genuine. It's genuine. Hallelujah. Praise God. And as long as you love Him, He's going to help you. He's going to lead you. He's going to guide you. Amen. And so He said, being made free from sin and become servants to God. Everybody say servants to God. You see, that's the real key to living for God, is to be a servant to God. Amen. Understand, my purpose here is to serve Him, not to serve myself, not to do what I think's right. Amen. Even when I mess up, I get up and I go on. I straighten out and I straighten up and I start going forward again. Amen. Because I'm a servant of God. That's what I'm here for. And this is something that's really hard for you and I to get. Or it's just hard to do. Amen. But how many rights do you think a servant has? Servants don't have any rights. We live in a world that everybody's screaming about rights. Amen. Everybody's got rights. Amen. Every day we hear rights. And everybody, they get out angrily and they protest and they carry signs and all the stuff they're going carrying on because they got rights. Do you know how many rights a servant has? None. And if I could get the mind of a servant tonight, it would help me a whole lot. If I could understand that when I've done all I can do and the very best I can do, the Bible says that I'm just a servant. Amen. I'm just a servant. That's just what I'm supposed to do. Amen. If we could get rid of the idea that we deserve praise and should be thanked and honored and all that's a wonderful thing. I'm not against it, but I'm just saying that in our own mind, we've got to get beyond that. You know, if you want to do something for God, Don't worry about it if somebody doesn't praise you for it. Just go ahead and do it. Because it's for Him. I'm a servant. Amen. As a servant, you know, I should be cleaning the bathrooms. I should be cleaning the sanctuary. I should be mowing the grass. That's my job. I should be teaching Sunday school. Amen. I should be doing visitation, teaching Bible studies. Because I'm a servant. I'm supposed to do that. That's not something to be recognized for and honored for. Now, I'm not saying it's wrong. We try to give honor when we can and where we can. But I'm saying in our own mind as a servant, it will help us if we can get a real genuine servant attitude and spirit. That make sense to anybody here tonight? You see, that's what helps you make it. And then if somebody says something that hurts your feelings, if you can just say, you know what, I'm a servant, doesn't make any difference. I'm a servant of God. Somebody makes fun of you and puts you down and you really want to retaliate and you know you can. But you just say, well, you know what? I'm a servant of God. I'm not here to defend myself. But I'm going to tell you something tonight. There's somebody that will defend you. Amen. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. Amen. So you got to understand something about God. God's not going to rain fire down on folks just right at that instant most of the time. He's going to give them the opportunity to repent. Amen. Because God would rather give them the option. Amen. He wants people to be saved ultimately. Aren't you glad He had patience with you? Aren't you glad He had mercy on you? Amen. So you see, if we can get that idea in our heads tonight and understand that we are become servants to God. That's who we are. That's what we are. We're here to serve Him. Amen. And we have fruit unto righteousness and unto holiness. Holiness is separation unto God. We're with Him. We represent Him in this world. That's our job. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen, brother. That brother I was talking to, he told me, he said, when he was away from God, he said, you know what? He said it didn't matter. He said there could be 1,000,000 people. And he said, I'd run into the one Pentecostal and the whole bunch. He said, no matter where I went or what I did, I could not get away from these folks. He said, God just kept putting them in my path. He just kept putting them in my way. I could never get away from them. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. That's why the Bible said you're a light in this world. Hallelujah. Amen. So you see, there's just no getting away from it. He said that's because you're a servant of God and God puts you in the right place at the right time. And you're there and your light shines. Ephesians 5 and 8 said, for ye were sometimes darkness. He didn't just say you were in darkness. He said you were darkness. Creatures from the dark side. That was us. Him and some of them were dark. Sometimes I still feel a little dim. But we were in darkness, the scripture said. And he said, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. That's what the brother was talking about. It wasn't that there were so many, but it's just that they stand out. Amen. They stand out. You know, people do some stuff to stand out. They dye their hair all kinds of colors and put metal and chains and perfumes and all kinds of stuff because they want to stand out. Amen. And after a while, just everybody looks the same because they do something weird and everybody else wants to be weird, so they do it too. And after a while, the weirdness don't look weird anymore because that's how everybody looks. But you know who looks weird? We do. Because we're how it's supposed to be. Amen. Unadorned. Real. Genuine. Amen. And so he said, you're going to shine like a light. That's your job. He said, ye are lights. And that's just who we are. It's what we do. Now, people may not. You think, well, nobody sees, nobody knows. Oh, yeah, they do. Oh, yeah, they do. You do stand out. You know, when folks need prayer, who do they talk to? Amen. There's some need going on in their life. Who do they kind of seek out? The light. Because you shine. That's our job. We're supposed to shine. And when you have the Holy Ghost, you can't help but shine. Hallelujah. He taught us that in Sunday school. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bushel? No! I'm going to let it shine. Won't let Satan blow it out? I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine till Jesus comes. I'm going to let it shine. That's our job. We are lights. And that's what we are. He said we were darkness. But now, he said you're light. Thank God. Thank God. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11 through 13, he said, wherefore remember that you being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who called you uncircumcision by the which is called circumcision. In other words, the Jews called us uncircumcision, which is Gentiles. In the flesh made by hands, that in time, at that time, you were without Christ. Everybody say without Christ. Being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Amen. Let me tell you something. Do you know how you got here? Because Jesus brought you here. Oh, well, preacher, I just decided I'd come. Well, you don't come unless he gets you here. Now, you might even get to church, but you don't get to Jesus without him drawing you. This idea that people sometimes express, and I've heard people say, you know, well, when I get ready to come to God, well, what makes you think that you're in control of that? Can you find God if he doesn't want you to? Where are you going to find him? Well, I'll find him in church. You can come to church and still not find God. He can hide himself in church, just like he can hide himself anywhere else. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we don't just, on our little schedule, and we're some kind of little special being that we just snap our fingers and God comes at our beckoning. Amen. I think it's a good thing if we would remember that God is sovereign and he is boss and he's not your sugar daddy. Amen. This world somehow has tried to just make God out as some kind of a cosmic sugar daddy, and it's all about just love, 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 you know, love everybody, love sin, love the devil. Amen. Love everybody else and then fit God in there somewhere. And he's got to take it because he's a God of love. No! 1,000 times no. That's not what love is. Amen. If you see somebody coming to destroy your family or your loved one and you don't stand up against that, that's not love. If you see something destroying your family and you don't stand up against it, that's not love. If you saw some kind of a ravening animal coming after one of your kids and you said, oh, I can't stop him. I couldn't bear to hurt the little critter. I'll just let him destroy a little whatever. You think that's love? I read a story some years ago about a grandma that bought her 6-year-old grandson a 4-wheeler. And he was riding that thing all over, across people's lawns and through their flowers and in their gardens and down the highway. And, And then the police caught him and brought him in and said, "Woman, don't you realize that this boy's going to get killed on this thing? He's not mature enough to ride this." She said, "Oh, I know it's dangerous, but I loved him so much." That's not love. That's stupidity. I'm sorry. But he's not ready for that. That's not love. When you get to feeling like that, you need to look in the mirror and say, "Weenie, weenie, 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 weenie." Because you're a weenie. Grow a backbone. Learn how to say no. Amen. Praise God. That was parenting 101. Amen. Now, let me tell you something. God knows how to say no. And I know some immature Christians that say God doesn't answer prayer because he said no. Oh, you're just used to getting your way. But your heavenly Father, you cannot manipulate him. I said you cannot manipulate him. You cannot manipulate him. God knows our motives. He doesn't only hear what you say, he knows why you say it. He knows what you're asking for, and he knows why you want it. And sometimes you don't get it because he knows you're asking for the wrong reason. It's what the Bible said. Praise God. I don't know if anybody will recognize this God or not tonight, but I'm telling you, this is the way he is. Praise the Lord. And I'm glad he is. You know what? I want to serve somebody that knows better than I do. Amen. If Johnny Grissom's in control, this whole thing's going to crash. Amen. I know how great I am. Amen. I make plenty of mistakes. So I'm glad there's somebody in control of this that knows where we're going and how to get there. Amen. And he's going to take us through. But you see, we don't control him. Amen. You can't control God and force God because he just doesn't do that. Amen. So he said we were without God, but now in Christ Jesus, we're made nigh by the blood. The only way you get to Jesus Christ is because of the blood, that sacrifice, the offering of himself for our sins, and that made a way, a bridge that we can cross over into the presence of the Lord. Amen. You can't come without the blood. Did you know there were churches that wanted to be so sophisticated they don't want to sing about the blood anymore? So they took it out of their song books. And preachers, they won't let them preach about the blood anymore because it's too gory. You can't get to God without the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the only thing that's going to get us there. Amen. We're saved, made nigh by the blood. And what an insult to God. You see, when Adam and Eve sinned, amen, the only way we can be saved, the Bible said, without the shedding of blood is no remission of sins. Do you remember the first thing that God did after Adam and Eve sinned? He killed an animal. He shed its blood. He took its skin and he wrapped it around their nakedness. The skin covered their physical body and the blood covered their transgression and their sin. And then he gave the law and it was constant. You read about it. Cain and Abel brought their sacrifice to God. God rejected Cain's because it was the fruit of the ground that he cursed, and it had no blood. Abel brought a lamb and shed the blood, and God accepted his sacrifice. To Moses, he gave the law, and they brought all of those blood sacrifices. Remember that? Aren't you glad we don't live under the law anymore? Amen. Praise God. Can't you just see that? Going to church, leading a bull, or taking a lamb, or a dove. Amen. There were sin offerings, and people saw that. They knew you'd been up to something. Your only redemption is they had one too. Amen. So nobody could point fingers at anybody. Amen. But it was the blood. But you know what? None of that counted. Because every year they had the Day of Atonement, and the Lord would send down fire and consume the sacrifice. And by doing so, he said, your sins are rolled ahead 1 year. But next year, we got to do it again. And the next year, we got to do it again. And the next year, we got to do it again. Why is that? Amen. Because none of these are acceptable sacrifices. There's only one acceptable sacrifice. It was the spirit of prophecy that caused John to look up and look at Jesus and said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And when Jesus shed his blood on Calvary, the last thing he said from the cross is, it is finished. And it's that blood that made a way for us. Remember when Jesus died, the veil in the tabernacle was rent from the top to the bottom. And God was saying, I'm through hiding behind the curtain. Now because of the blood, I can come out and all people can come to me. But the only way we get to God is by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank God for the blood. Thank God for the blood. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, verse 10. He said, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Everybody say, but now. We were not a people, but now. But now, we are a people. You know one of the great things about this body of Christ is you can go anywhere in the world where these people gather and you'll feel right at home. Oh, you may not understand the language and you may not quite get the culture and they may eat different things than you do and they may dress a little differently than you do, but everywhere you go in the entire body of Christ, there's this spirit of fellowship and belonging. Amen. I've had the privilege to visit and to be in 17 nations and different places and a lot of different services, lots of different kinds of people. But everywhere I go, hallelujah. Amen. If it's Holy Ghost, I feel the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. They're my brothers and sisters. And I immediately love them. There's just something that just reaches out and automatically you feel kindred spirit. Amen. It's great to be a people tonight. We were not a people. Now we're a people. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. You know, the church is pretty much the only family that some folks have. I was so blessed, and I say this in no sense of pride, but with great thanksgiving and appreciation, that I grew up in a good family. And I thank God for that. Because I know not everybody did. I understand that. Not everybody grew up in the kind of situation that I had. Amen. And I'm very thankful for that tonight. But I want you to know, if you didn't grow up in the same kind of godly and good environment that I grew up in, you still have a family tonight. Hallelujah. If you're the only one in your family that's serving the Lord, that's okay, because you still have a family. Amen. There's people here that love you. And there are people here that will accept you and embrace you and bring you in. Amen. And do our very best to encourage and to help and to nurture you. We were not a family, but now we're a family. We were not a people, but now we're a people. Thank God. And in closing, 1 Corinthians 6, back to the beginning when he said that, and he quite a list here, he said that, be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And he said, and such were some of you. Amen. You see, we can inherit the kingdom of God because we're not that anymore. It is vital that we understand that Jesus Christ came to save us from our sin, not in our sin. He doesn't want you to keep being what you were. He wants you to come out of that. Amen. And the Bible very strongly teaches us that the things that we were involved in, we know the wrong things. When you get the Holy Ghost, it's a spirit of righteousness. And you know what's right and wrong. Yes, you do. The Holy Ghost tells you what's right and wrong. Anybody know what I'm talking about here tonight? Amen. When you do something wrong, your peace is disturbed. Amen. And conviction begins to gnaw at your mind and your spirit because you know that was wrong. And you don't have any doubt what it was. You know what it was. But if you will immediately repent and ask God to forgive you and come out of that, praise the Lord, then the Lord restores your peace and restores your power. Amen. And you just keep on going. This is real tonight, folks. This is not some make-believe. It's not just some kind of a religious society. But this is genuine. So, he said, that's what we were, but we've come out of that. He says, but now you're washed. Anybody remember being washed? Amen. That's what happens right there. That's where the washing takes place. Amen. That's why we got a whole tub of water back there. Amen. We don't just sprinkle a little bit on your head. Amen. We don't do it at the drinking fountain. Praise God. You got to go. You need to be washed. Praise the Lord. I don't know about you, but when I get ready to, I like plenty of water when I want to get washed. Amen. Just a damp cloth's not going to do. Putting a little water on and a whole bunch of talcum powder, that just won't do. You know, it'll only hide so much. Amen. And the real thing begins to bleed through. Amen. He said, we've been washed. Amen. Thank God we washed away our sins in the waters of baptism, calling on the name of Jesus Christ. And he remitted our sins and he washed them away. He said, you're washed. He said, you're sanctified. What in the world does that mean? Amen. It means that he sets you apart. Amen. Praise God. He sets you apart. Hallelujah. Amen. You were one of the bunch, and all of a sudden he picked you out of the bunch, and he said, I want you over here with this bunch. Glory. Amen. In other words, we were chosen, selected, elected, set apart unto God for his purpose, for his glory. And then he said, you're justified. Now, the easiest way to understand that is it means just as if I'd never sinned. Justified. Just as if I'd never sinned. Amen. Because God redeemed us and blotted out our transgressions. Now, in Bible times, they wrote with ink that did not have acid in it. And so, if you made a mistake when you wrote something down, you just got what they called a blotter. And you could reach over where you had written and you could just wipe it clean. And it no longer was there. It was just gone. Nobody could ever see that you made a mistake. Nobody'd ever know that it was ever there because you could blot it out. Amen. And God has a unique ability and his own record book to blot things out. I still remember what I've done. You still remember what you've done. Other people may remember what I've done. But when I stand before God and he opens the book to judge me and he looks at the page, if I've repented and been baptized in his name, he has stricken all that from the record. And it's just not there anymore. It's just gone. That's what it means to be justified tonight. He just simply wiped it all out. Praise the Lord. It's just all gone. Amen. Thank God that it's all gone today. He's washed us clean. He's made us whole. That's what we were. And you know what? It's good to remember what we were. Because if I can remember what I was, then I can help somebody else that is. And I don't condemn them. I don't look down on them. I don't despise them. I understood what it's like. That was me. I did that. That's what I was. But if God can do this for me, he can do the same thing for them. If he can bring me out, he can bring them out. If he can forgive me and save me, he can forgive them and save them. That's why you don't forget what you were. God did not save us to be some kind of a museum. He saved us to be a hospital. He saved us to be a hospital. He saved us not so people could come here and look and ooh and ah and say, oh, my, what fine people you are. What glorious people you are. Look how righteous and good you are. No, 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 no. The idea is that we bring hurting people and people that need healing. Amen. And bring them so that the great physician can make them what he has made us. Let's stand together tonight. Thank you so much for your time. But now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But now it's different. Amen. I was dead in trespasses and sins. Oh, but now I've been quickened and made alive. I was bound through death for hell. But now through righteousness, his blood, amen, I have life and I'm bound for heaven. Thank God for the change that he's made in our lives. Amen. I'm a debtor. I owe everybody the same opportunity that I've had. Amen. I owe everybody the same opportunity that God has given me. How about you tonight? Amen. Somebody, would you accept an opportunity tonight to change some things in your life? The Holy Ghost has spoken to you tonight, and he's calling you to make a difference. He wants to give you a new life. He wants to give you a fresh start. He wants you to have the opportunity to just begin all over again. How about it tonight? Amen. Would you like to come and just start fresh? Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Saint of God.